Oh, good day, everyone. Welcome to this November the 10th, 2024, to the Life Investigated podcast today. Been a while since I've done a podcast. I've been traveling down other roads and making other journeys for a while. But I hope to get back to the podcast, both audio and video, somewhere down the road here. Been a good week for me anyway, as a conservative and as a believer in Christ. I feel like that we have some obligations and opportunities in front of us here in the next 4 years after the presidential election, and certainly with the other collateral elections that have happened with the Republicans in a majority of the Senate and still potentially and probably of the House. We hopefully, as citizens of the United States and as conservative citizens of the United States, and that as Christian citizens of the United States, we can have some opportunities afforded to us that were being taken away from us, quite frankly, in rapid manner. Most of us just didn't realize how fast it was going past us. That is our right to be free, our right to be a conservative, and not only our right, but our obligation to serve the God that we choose to serve, and His name is Jesus. So I'm titling this podcast today, "Jesus is Just All Right with Me." And that may sound like I'm being somewhat cold or negative about Jesus Christ on the front of this, and I'm not. Although this is not intentionally designed to be a podcast about my faith or about Christ. It's covering actually a wide range of issues here today. But Jesus is just all right with me. So it's not that's not a cold statement. And I'll tell you where I get some ideas and inspiration from strange places sometimes that maybe a lot of religious folks would not agree with or would not like my inspiration, potentially, where I get some, even in my 26 years as a pastorate, some of my best sermon material or inspiration that I got obviously was from the Bible, but you have to have something to prompt you if you're at least trying to be being led by the Holy Spirit and being current on what the Spirit would prefer to speak to the church. Jesus speaks in many different ways, and the Holy Spirit speaks in numerous ways as to how He wants us to be led every day. So I've got some of my best sermons from one-liners on a TV or a one-line statement somebody would make just in casual conversation, and sometimes off of a country music radio station or even a rock radio station. And you say, "Oh my, you must not," some of you religious folks out there might be saying right now, "Well, you must not be much of a Christian if you're listening to rock station or a country station." You know, that legalistic attitude is what drives a lot of people away from Christ. And if you really want to take the next 4 years of opportunity potentially to avoid judgment on this nation like we were headed into, maybe you want to get out of some of that religion. I'm not saying get out of your faith. I'm saying get out of your religion and get out of your snotty attitude with your nose up in the air. And maybe you might actually be beneficial somewhere along the line to Christ in the next 4 years while you will still have the freedom to do it now. So again, the title of the message, "Jesus is Just All Right with Me." Again, not a slight on Jesus. Let me explain. Early this morning, my wife forced me to the gym. And if I'm in the gym in the early morning hours, it's at the encouragement of my wife, because she likes to be at the gym early and I do not. Actually, I do not like being at the gym, period. But my wife enjoys it. So I like to do things with my wife that she enjoys as well as she does with me. So I got out of my comfort zone and went to the gym early this morning. So I'm there this morning with my headset on, And I was listening to classic vinyl from the 60s and 70s on a internet radio station. And you say, okay, see, I already thought, you patriot trainer, you wasn't much of a Christian. You've already talking about rock and roll, and you're telling me on a Sunday morning, early in the morning, you're in a gym. I was, and I was listening to classic vinyl. And one of the songs that come on was a song that was sang by the Doobie Brothers back in probably 1972, maybe-ish. And other people had recorded it before the Doobie Brothers, but the name of the song was Jesus Is Just All Right With Me. So a lot of people, especially a lot of religious folks, get a little agitated at a title like that. And of course, you extremely religious folks and you legalistic folks that look down your nose at everyone, you probably were too sanctimonious and too holy to listen to the song anyway. But here's what it meant. Back in the culture in the late 60s and 70s, when you heard a rock band singing about Jesus, it was either in a positive sense or derogatory sense, one of the two. It wasn't really trying to promote the gospel as it was for the ones that were singing about Jesus in a positive sense. They were really singing about an experience they had with God. And back in the culture of those of you that lived through it like I did in the late 60s and early 70s, when you said somebody is just all right with you, that meant you were holding them in high esteem. That meant, in our vernacular of that day, that meant they were very cool. And a very cool person, listen, you say, well, Jesus is not cool. He's holy. He's righteous. I understand that. I believe it or not, in 26 years of pastoring churches, I actually read the Bible. I understand the attributes and I understand the personality of God as much, I think, as most anyone can understand. But to say, when you said in that culture, Jesus is just all right with me, that was indicating that they had either an experience with Christ or a relationship with Christ. And that meant he was being held in high esteem. That meant he was very cool. And very cool people back in those days, they drew the crowds in. Think back to the old TV sitcom Happy Days. Who was the one that was really the center of the show? It wasn't Ron Howard playing his role, even though I guess he, I don't know if he was the producer or not, I don't remember, but certainly he was a well-known figure. But who was the one that really attracted everyone? It was the Fonz, right? And what was the Fonz? He was cool. He had the cool talk, he had the cool look, he had the cool demeanor, and he had a cool personality. He was just a cool guy. And who did people look up to? The Fonz. Who were people attracted to? The Fonz, the cool guy. So I would like to say to all of us that are born again believers in Christ, and conservative and Republican. You don't necessarily, I guess, have to be a Republican to be conservative. But if you're all three, listen, you're going to have to learn how to walk the line. You've got 4 years. You've got 4 years. Listen to me. Judgment was upon us. Judgment is still upon us. I believe it's just been delayed for the prosperity of the building of Christ's kingdom, not so much for the prosperity of America, even though I fully, with all of my heart and soul, believe that once again, under President Trump, the economy and the blessings that come along with correct leadership will be upon the nation again, but it's subject to change. You know, we had 4 pretty good years. It took Trump a while to get in his first term. It took him a while to get in alignment. It took him a while to understand politics a little better, at least from the inside. It took him a while to realize that even though he was talking about draining the swamp, he had a lot of swamp in his house that he eventually figured out he had to get rid of. Everybody says he knows better this time. He won't do it again. We'll see about that. And you say, why do you say it like that? We'll see about that. Because Trump is like no other man. He has fallibilities, and he has people that have influence with him that will influence him, and maybe against his better judgment, he will follow that influence, and it could be turn out to be detrimental again, because he, like the rest of us, he is cool in a sense, but he is not Jesus Christ. He does not walk on water and perform miracles, and he does not save a man's soul. So he has fallibilities just like the rest of us, and he is subject to make mistakes. The problem is when somebody is in his role with his demeanor and with his responsibilities, his mistakes are greatly amplified more than you or I or even anybody, this lying, stinking liberal press would exalt and amplify, or not exalt, but amplify their mistakes. So it's a hard road for him, but it's a hard road for all of us, folks. It's a hard road for all of us as citizens of the United States still. We are still suffering the criminal enterprise that's been running this country for numerous years that came to a culmination or came to its revealing through this Biden-Harris deal and all of the flunkies that they have that are corrupt criminals just like them. We started to see it. Some of you who kept your head in the sand for all of these years over the corruption in the United States government and the corruption in the world, quite frankly, you've kept your head in the sand. You didn't want to put any effort. You didn't want to be involved because you were doing all right. You were doing all right, or you're getting by, or some of you, many of you, doing better than getting all right. But we can't do that anymore. You may have, judgment may still come. Judgment on the world may still come. Judgment on on Satan may still come. Judgment on the Antichrist may still come. It can come before Trump's 4-year term is ended. You need to understand that the rapture of the church and the tribulation period is still on track. The election didn't change that as far as whether it will happen or not. The election may potentially have paused it in some manner that only God can understand. I cannot explain that. However, we've got things to be responsible for. We've got to be responsible here. Listen, got to be responsible for your family. You got to be responsible for your mistakes. You got to be responsible in the next 4 years for your self-protection. It's not Trump's job to protect you. It is not the government's job to protect you. It's up to you to protect you. Now, with a government like Trump will place in, we will have more freedoms to protect ourselves. However, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to maintain personal wealth management, to maintain our finances the way that we should, to curtail frivolous spending that we should not be doing to start with, because that contradicts with the Bible itself. If you're a devoted Christian, that is improper stewardship. When God gives you a blessing, i.e., money, gives you a way to make money, he expects you to do positive things with that. I'm not saying you have to go out and give it all away. Giving is part of a Christian lifestyle, but I'm saying he's expecting you to be a steward of what the resources is that he allows you to have. So we've got a responsibility just as citizens. Listen, all of these millions and millions of folks that voted for Donald Trump were not Christians. Some of them are Christians professing to be saved and following after the lead of Christ Jesus. Some of the people that voted for Donald Trump are probably agnostic. They really don't believe in religion. They don't really believe there really is a God. Well, they certainly don't believe in Jesus. I mean, the Orthodox Jews, the practicing Jews that voted for Donald Trump, I can tell you they do not believe in Jesus Christ, but yet they voted for Donald Trump. I heard some numbers about the Muslims that voted for Donald Trump. I can tell you for a fact, the Muslims do not worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There were, like I said, That may have even been some atheists that voted with the overwhelming numbers that he has come out with. There were probably some atheists that even voted for Donald Trump. So you Christians, listen to me. You're kind of getting a little snotty attitude about this election already. You didn't win this election. You contributed to the success of this election, but you did not win this election alone. It took Americans who want a better life, who were tired of corruption and lies being smacked in our face every day, and the people that were doing it thinking that we are just stupid idiots. That's who voted him in. And some of you say, I've heard some of you little holy rolling preachers already, and some of your posts you've put on Facebook and different things like that. Oh, now remember, you be humble. God is the one who did this. Well, I'm certainly not going to detract from any blessing in my life. God did it. Period. I mean, if my wife got up tonight, this afternoon, and fixed me meatloaf and mashed potatoes, which is my favorite meal probably that I can eat other than seafood, is certainly I and very much enjoy my wife's meatloaf and mashed potatoes. I enjoy eating those that meal. If she decided, and she does nice things for me all the time, but I'm saying if she decided today to get up and make me mashed potatoes and meatloaf, I would thank her for it and I would appreciate it, but I would thank God for it. Why? That meatloaf and mashed potatoes is a blessing to me. Where do all blessings come from? They come from God. And I recognize that. And I recognize God directs the sovereignty of the universe. He really does direct it. I got that. But there were millions and millions and millions of people that helped God. See, we help God. People say, well, God don't need no help. If God didn't need any help, why would he put us here? Why would he give us a great commission? If Jesus Christ did not need any help in this world, why did God create mankind? And why did Jesus give Christians the great commission to go out and promote the gospel and build his kingdom? You talk through your nose, Christians. Realize what God has really told you to do. And yes, God needs our assistance. We are his creation. And if we are born again and sold out to him, he gets to tell us what to do, by the way. But because he is such a gracious God, giving his creation free will, he allows us to make a choice, but he has to have us. He has to have us. You say, now, for all of you religious folks, start quoting scripture to me. Oh, but if you don't praise God, the rocks will. Well, I don't doubt that God could cause a rock to praise him. Those rocks are not registered voters, okay? So the rocks can stand out and praise him all day long, and Donald Trump still would not have been elected. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, impaled it upon men's hearts all over this nation that something is wrong with this nation, whether they understood sin or not, whether they understood the righteousness of God or not. They understood that something was wrong and that people were committing atrocious crimes at the expense of Americans. And Americans decided enough is enough, period, irregardless of what party affiliation they have. But you preachers, y'all, oh, now be humble, be humble. Well, listen, sometimes being humble gets you walked over top of people. I mean, yes, does the Bible teach humility? But humility is not a blanket approach to every situation. Let me say that again. Humility is not a blanket approach to every single situation in life. Yes, there are times to be humble. And when we recognize God as our sovereign God, as Christ is a sovereign, the sovereign entity of our Savior, then we are being humble, in my opinion. But let me show you an example here in Scripture, especially for all you religious supposed theologians that are wanting to call me up and rebuke me right now. Let me take you back here to a scripture, I believe, in Matthew 21 is where I want to go. Matthew chapter 21. And of course, I'm reading now the New Living Translation, which some of you Bible scholars would already throw rocks at me and tell me I'm preaching out of a false translation or something. Some of you folks, you've got to have your 1611 King James Bible. And church that I pastored, they were into the 1611 King James Bible. But when I went out and examined their Bibles, not a one of them actually had a 1611. They had a King James Version. Not a one of them had a real 1611 King James Bible. But anyway, I digress. Let me tell you a time that Jesus wasn't real humble at all. And it was at his triumphal entry into his city, the city of Jerusalem. Some of you may know this as the Palm Sunday story, as you have been taught in Sunday school. It's when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to spend the Passion Week before his crucifixion. And on that day, as he walked in or rode in on his borrowed donkey, he apparently, it would appear by reading Matthew's gospel that as the crowds gathered around him, singing, "Praise God, the Son of David, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, praise God in the highest heaven." And the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered, according to verse 10. "Who is this?" they asked. And verse 11, and the crowds replied, "It is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And there's part of the problem with a lot of folks who claim they're Christian. I don't have a bone to pick with you folks who do not claim to be a Christian and do not know anything about Christ. The only bone I've got to pick with you is, why don't you stretch yourself a little bit and try to explore him and get to know a little bit about him? But these crowds were calling him a prophet. Yeah, he wasn't. He's not really a prophet. He's the Son of God. Now, does he know all things? Yes. But he's God. He's not a prophet. He's God. He's our Savior of the world. So there was already a misconception here what's going on. But so as the crowds were laying down the palm leaves and everything else in front of him, and declaring him to be the king, it appears, at least from Matthew 21's gospel, that he went straight to the temple, which, hey, that makes sense, doesn't it? I would expect God to go to God's house. I would expect him to want to go to his own house. So we read here in verse 12, but something unique happened that was not expected from society. In verse 12 of chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling the doves. He said to them, and the New Living Translation has red letters also, folks, which we attribute red letters to direct quotations of Jesus Christ himself. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Well, what did the first verse of chapter 12 say? It said, "He entered the temple and began to drive the people out." In other words, Jesus Christ was not being very humble. He wasn't. Now, his personality hadn't changed, his spirit hadn't changed, but he was not walking in triumph in Jerusalem being humble. He walked in angry. He walked in angry, folks. You say God can't get angry, then no matter what version of the Bible you've read a very skewed version if you don't see where God gets angry. I can take you to hundreds of scriptures where God got angry. God was angry that day. Now listen, I think there's a lesson for us Christians here. I think there's a lesson for you conservatives here. I'm not saying that you should be gloating, but you should be giving honor where honor is due. Number one, to Jesus Christ himself. He's always first and foremost in everything. Isn't that one of the commandments? You'll have no other gods before me. So he's first and foremost in everything. But we can give honor where honor is due. And the Bible says it's okay to give honor where honor is due, as long as we are not placing any subject of honoring in front of our God. There were a lot of people that worked tirelessly, gave their blood, sweat, tears, and money to make this election turn out to be the way that it needs to be for the freedom of all mankind, quite frankly. That's what I don't understand about the liberals and the Democrats. They will reap as many benefits from the freedom that will be brought in through this new seat of government, and they will partake in the blessings of a government run as correctly as a big government can be. They will reap the blessings just like the Christian reaps the blessing. They will reap the blessing just like the conservative man or woman reaps the blessing. They will, the people that voted against Trump will reap the blessings as much as the ones that voted. And the world stands to gain. The entire world stands to gain in prosperity and peace by what just happened when the American voters spoke on Tuesday, my friends. So it's okay. You self-righteous, lighten the load for preachers who are afraid somebody's going to get mad and quit your church if you try to say something positive about Trump or positive about what happened. Just go on and leave your pulpit. You just need to go on and leave your pulpit. Go on and get you in a commune somewhere and live with some of your liberal friends somewhere. You know, just that's what you really need to do. It's okay to give honor. And no, I'm not going to be humble about it. I am fiercely angry. I am fiercely angry over what I've had to experience, what my family's had to experience, what my friends and the people that I care about, and Americans in general that I'll never even know. I am fiercely angry about what's been propagated against us as American citizens, as conservatives, and doubly as Christians in the last 4 years from this lying bunch of criminals and thieves. Who did he drive at? What did he call this bunch in the temple? You bunch of thieves. And that's exactly what this administration is. It's been in a den of thieves that have stolen from the American citizen. And you think I should be humble about that? That these thugs have been put in their place? No, I'm not going to be humble. I am not going to be humble, preacher. You can tell me all day long in your little two-bit worthless sermons that I should be humble. I am not going to be humble. I am going to use the same spirit that Jesus used when he drove the thieves out. You see, the thing about thieves, you know, I spent a long time in law enforcement. I've been in the criminal justice field one way or the other now for 44 years. And you know what I found out about a criminal? There's a small percentage of criminals that will actually change their way. And I thank God for the ones that did, who have seen the error of their ways, who have repented before God and repented before society, and are now living good, godly, productive lives in society. Thank God for your blessing. Thank God for your personal efforts. Whoever you are that has done that, but you are a minority. And for those of you that have been in the system, you know that I'm talking the truth here. So listen, a criminal who has gotten away with it and has become filthy rich off of our backs, they're not going to change their ways. It's been we, the American citizens, and we, the church, we made it too easy for these criminals, this den of thieves, to flourish in our nation, a nation that we say is under God, but yet we have stood aside and allowed corruption. You think they're going to go, are any of you really that naive that this bunch that are, we're going to have a peaceful transition, the American people have spoken, da, da, da. You know they're lying through their teeth, right? They may not be planning anything particular at this point to keep President Trump from taking the keys to the White House again and taking, or I should say, taking control of the government. They may not be doing anything to provide resistance there, but listen to what I am telling you on November the 10th, 2024. They have a plan. They have a plan. Whether their plan is to send someone more efficient than the fruitcake pathetic individual on July the 13th, they've got them. I can guarantee you they've got them at the ready. Whether they're planning on some other type of backdoor strategy to steal, rob you, to kill you, and to steal from you, because that's what Satan does. He steals, kills, and destroys. This bunch is led by Satan. Satan is their father. I can say they're Catholic all day long if they want to, or Baptist, or Pentecost, or anything else. I think most of them claim to be Catholic. Listen, they do not serve the Jesus said you'll know a tree by the fruit, okay? And they have exposed their fruit very well. They ain't none of this bunch serving God, and they are serving their father, the devil, and they're looking for a way, and they are devising a plan, even as they stand in front of the American public and say, oh yeah, we're gonna, because they think you're that stupid. They really think that you are that stupid, American citizen. Oh yeah, it's gonna be peaceful. It's gonna, no, it's not. It's not. It's not. This is the time to be like Jesus was in the temple. Because you're going to have some backing, and you're going to have some freedom. Where you see corruption and you see thieves and you see wrong, this is the time to speak up and then put action towards stopping whatever that event is or whatever action is going on. This is your time. Conservative, this is your time, conservative. Conservative non-believer, this is your time to solidify your government. Conservative Christian, this is your time to be a conservative Christian. So when I say conservative Christian, I mean a Christian that didn't buy into the junk that because you're saved or born again, that you can't be involved in politics. You can be involved in politics, and you're the group I'm talking about that's conservative Christian. Now, let me say the other group. You Christians, you love God, and I understand that. And your conviction is you just don't want anything to do with the government, but you did reach out of your comfort zone and you went to the polls this time, and I say thank you. I thank you for your effort. I thank you on behalf of my family for your effort. I thank you as a spokesman as I've been for many years now, that I believe called of God. So a spokesman for God, I thank you on his behalf too. And if your conviction is not going to allow you to be any more active than to go vote, then okay, that's your conviction. I will never argue with a man on his conviction. If you're serving God, you're living by the principles and the precepts of the scriptures that you read, and you know that you love God in your heart, then brother, you go on after it. The rest of us will take the battle in another direction. You pray for us. How about that? I'm not going to have a humble spirit. I am not going to have a humble spirit, no matter how many times a slick willy preacher tells me I got to have a humble spirit. Not going to happen, and neither should you. If you took time to listen to this rather long podcast, it's probably going to be over 35 minutes long. If you take time to listen to it, and if you get any kind of encouragement or effort out of it, share it with somebody else. I you know, this is not a money-making thing for me. This is a way for me to speak the voice that I feel like God has for me to speak. I appreciate your support if you do. Not I don't take finances. I'm just saying I appreciate your support in sharing it. I appreciate your support and just giving encouragement to one another. And we all doing what God has for us to do in this limited window that we have to do it in. Thank you so much for listening.